Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
Verse 17, he prays, Lord, I'm praying that you would sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The desire of heaven, the desire of God, is that you and I be sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Well, it just simply means to be made holy, to be made like Christ, to possess the character of Christ and God in your life. It means to be consecrated and set apart for the purposes of God.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 17. As we continue in our series on the high priestly prayer, the prayer of Christ, the desire of heaven, the prayer of Christ, the desire of God, the very principles of the kingdom are found in this passage of Scripture. That if you pursue these kingdom principles, you will find life indeed. You will find the keys to life, the keys to the kingdom of God. When you look at this passage of Scripture and you see that Jesus Christ says in verse 17, to the text that we'll look at for a little bit this morning is, verse 17, he prays, Lord, I'm praying that you would sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The desire of heaven, the desire of God, is that you and I be sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Well, it just simply means to be made holy, to be made like Christ, to possess the character of Christ and God in your life. This word is so pure, it is so holy, that it means that it is without any trace of contamination, without anything that would take away from the integrity of any product. It means be consecrated and set apart for the purposes of God. Sanctify them in the truth. Make them holy. Make them like Christ. Make them like the Father in character. When I look at this word, sanctification, I'm always reminded of one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you would turn there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what he says about sanctification. Notice what he says in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, do not be deceived. He says, listen, neither fornicators, and that's people who practice sex out of the marriage bond, having sex with someone other than your wife, premarital or after marriage, is fornication. He says, listen, fornicators nor idolaters, those who love things or someone more than they love God, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's bad news. But my favorite verse in the Scripture is the next verse, or one of the favorite. And such were some of you. There are some of you in this church, he says, that was saved out of the pit of hell. You were placed upon the rock. God put a new song in your mouth, made your footsteps firm. You are no longer these things. Such were some of you. I love this passage of Scripture because I can say to culture and to anybody else who says that these things are unchangeable, I'm saying they are changeable. And I can say that to the person who's riddled with lust. I can say to the drunkard, you can stand up and say, God has set me free from alcohol and drunkenness. I'm no longer a drunkard. Don't let culture rob you from the victory. Don't let what the world says. Don't let what pop psychology says. This is the Scripture. This is the Word. It's not man's word. It's not Mike Fritcher's word. It is the Word coming forth from God's mouth. Such were some of you. You were an adulterer. You were an idolater. You were a fornicator. You were a homosexual. You were a thief. You were covetous. You were a drunkard. You were a reviler, a swindler. And you are no longer that. Why? Because you were washed. You were sanctified. You were made holy, consecrated, pure. But you were justified. You were declared right in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you see that folks that walk in sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that God comes with this grace and with this word to change your life by washing you and sanctifying you and justifying you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can say, I was this way. I walked this way. I had this in my nature. I had this in my spirit, but no longer do I have it because I've been washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you desire that? Don't you desire to see that in your life? Don't you desire to speak that to people who think that they can never be changed, that they can never walk in the freedom that God has called them to walk in? Sanctification, what it does, it washes you, it cleanses you, and it takes away the old nature so that you're no longer described by your sexual sin, by your covetousness, by the things that you do out of anger, out of the things that you do out of lust, the things that you do out of greed. No longer will you be looked that way. No longer will you talk that way. No longer will you be defined by that way because of this great word, sanctification, which means being made holy. When you look at this word, you come to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Sanctification is very descriptive in the Scriptures. Jesus just doesn't say, be sanctified, and just doesn't tell us what sanctification is. You go from cover to cover and you can find out what sanctification is. Matter of fact, He defines it in practical terms. But I want you to look at these practical terms in light of chapter 5 of Matthew in verses 43 through 48. Because listen to what He says. He says, you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I'm saying to you, love your enemies. That's a present imperative. It means love and keep on loving. And then keep on praying for those who persecute you. Why? In order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? In verse 47, it says, if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Doesn't even the world do that? Doesn't even the pagan do that? They greet one another. He says, but it's not so with you. There's a different kind of standard. And the standard is that you not only love your neighbor, you love your enemies, because your enemy is your neighbor according to God's gospel. Your enemy is your neighbor. And He says, listen, the world does this. The world walks this way. You're not of the world, so don't walk like the world. Notice what He says in verse 48. Very important verse of Scripture. I believe this is the whole context of sanctification. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I'm telling you, folks, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And what is the context of this holiness? What is the context? The context is you love your neighbor and you love your enemy. That's the context of that. The context is that you greet your enemy as you greet your neighbor. That you do the things that God's called you to do, even for your enemy. You have heard it said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say, and I say it with emphatic word, I say to you, you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you. My friends, listen, if you can't do this, if you won't walk in this, if you won't pursue this, then folks, everything else that I say, you can walk in and still miss God. You can walk in and still miss God. So what do you mean? Well, for instance, in this first point, when we look at holiness, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, according to Paul in 1 Thessalonians, you go and turn there, is sexual purity. Okay? It's sexual purity. See, and when I look at this and I look at it in entirety of what he's saying here, I can walk in a certain sexual purity, and if I don't love my neighbor and if I don't love my enemy, I miss God. So please don't miss this whole thought of what sanctification is. Because sanctification is the Christ-likeness by which when He died for His enemies. Which, folks, was there a friend around Christ except a few women and one disciple when He died? No, they all fled. And everybody else was crucifying Him. He had a few women and one beloved disciple when it's all said and done. And yet He died. He died for the person who would walk in His rebellion. He died for the sinner. That's what He did. When you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's very clear that holiness is sexual purity. It's fleeing and abstaining from sexual immorality. And yet, folks, we need to, according to verse 4, possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. We possess our body. We possess our life. Notice what he says in verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you recede from instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. Isn't that interesting? He's going to give a hard word about sexual purity. And he's telling this church up front, listen, we've given you instruction and you're walking in it. And you're pleasing God and we're so pleased with that, but we want you to excel even more. You know why? Because the minute you stop excelling is the minute that you start falling. Can I tell you that? The moment you stop excelling is the moment you start falling backwards. I mean, how often have you seen us get so, you get yourself so far spiritually, or so far physically, or so far mentally and emotionally, and you stop maintaining, and you stop pursuing, and what happens? You fall right back. Every single time. Every single time. So he's saying, listen, you do this, you're pleasing God, and you know how to walk, and you're walking this way, but we're telling you to excel even more. Because you know, verse 2, what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, I want to ask you, is that what the Bible says here? That the will of God is your sanctification? Everybody agree with me on that? I mean, God's will is that you be sanctified, that you be made holy. Now, notice what he says. Here it is. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Now, that word, sexual immorality, is one word. It is called fornication. And that's literally what the word is. It says refrain from fornication. And the word comes from the Greek word that we get the word porn from. Okay? Pornias. Pornography. He says, you abstain from this sexual impurity. This fornication. Now, also, when you look at Scripture, it also metaphorically comes to mean the worship of idols. The worship of idols. When you love something more than you love God, you have an idol. And Scripture refers to that as being immoral, sensually immoral, following after something other than the one you're supposed to follow after. Now listen to this. In the sexual sense, the only one you're supposed to follow sexually is your spouse. And the only one you're supposed to pursue spiritually is the Lord God Almighty. And anything other than that is either physically or spiritual fornication. Now, I want you to notice this because it's very important. He says, he's saying that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who don't know God. In other words, he said, listen, this behavior is reserved for Gentiles who don't know God, who do not know God, not for Christians who know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to him. Folks, I look at this passage of Scripture and I think, my word, where's the church gone to? I mean, it's been so easy to justify sexual impurity in the churches. Think about that for a moment. I mean, a while back I spoke to someone, and I just, you know, I don't do this often, but I asked, well, are you sleeping around? Now, I could have been mean and said, are you fornicating? But I said, are you sleeping around? And they said, yeah. We didn't see anything wrong with it. And this guy has known God for a long time, or he says he has. And I said, you think it's okay? So, yeah. I said, let me ask you this question. Is it okay for your 17-year-old daughter? Well, of course not. Well, then why is it okay for you? Why is it okay for you? What if she was 21? Oh, I would feel bad about that. What if she was 25? I'd feel bad about that. Well, what is that? What is it that's made you so comfortable with the Word of God that allows you to think that it's okay and that you expect a great relationship? How can you expect to be blessed by God when you're violating the principal scriptures? Now, I didn't say it like that to him. I felt like I was a little more gentle. But that's the bottom line. We become so desensitized. So desensitized. And then you hear things like, well, it's just, you know, it must be God because, I mean, we just connect. Well, of course you connect. What do you think the enemy wants you to do? Is to connect, to make you think that this must be God. And it's not God. It's not God. You might feel blessed. You might look blessed. But according to Scripture, you're blessed when the Spirit of God is sent to you and turns you from your wicked ways. That's when you're blessed. Folks, Scripture says that if you reject this, if you reject what sanctification is being described of, then you're not rejecting man. You don't reject Mike Fritcher. You're not getting mad at Mike Fritcher today if this bothers you. You're not getting mad at me. You're getting mad at God who gives the Holy Spirit to you. That's what he says. So what I want to do is I want to embrace this truth. If I'm walking in any kind of sexual immorality, whether it's practice or whether it's in my mind or in my heart, because the Scripture says that if you lust for a woman in your heart, that you commit adultery with her in your heart. And so what I want to do is I want to embrace this word, and I want to embrace it by this, saying, Lord, I believe that your will for my life is to walk in sanctification. That is, that I abstain from all sexual immorality. And I'm going to believe that, Lord, today. I want to walk in that today. Because you see, there's some of you here today, and some of us in a crowd this big, okay, that we struggle with even some of the thought life that we have. And there's some of you that might be on the internet today with pornography or something that is illicit that you know is wrong even to look at. Scripture says the will of God is your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That means that you don't have any sexual relationships with anybody but your covenant partner, your wife or your husband. That's what it means. And anything less is a lack of sanctification. It is an unholy lifestyle. It is unholiness. And the church is not supposed to live that way. The body is supposed to not live that way. So you say, well, what if we're living that way right now? What if that's in my life right now? Well, I just want to point you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's some bad news, or you can walk in the good news. The bad news is you can keep on walking in it. The Scripture says you don't inherit eternal life. But the Scripture says that Christ comes along to set you free and to sanctify you and to wash you and to set you free so that you are no longer described as a fornicator, adulterer, or whatever else sexual perversion is out there. You're described by the holiness of God when you place your faith and your trust in Almighty God. So you can just say, boy, you're just really stomping on me today. Or you can say, you're really giving me some hope today. It's just the way how you're going to look at this message today. Are you going to be offended by it? Are you going to be mad by it? Or are you going to say, Lord, it's me. We've walked in this and we want to repent. And we want to turn from it. And we want to walk in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 11, that we are no longer fornicators. We are no longer adulterers. We are no longer any of these things, Lord, but we are washed, sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do with this message? We embrace it. We don't reject this word. We receive it and we set the standard right. We set it straight in our lives and we live it. But you know what? So many of us have become so desensitized. The things that we can watch on television, the things that we can read and see in movies and things like that, it's just we walk past it, we see past it, and the Scripture says that it's evil even to speak of those things that are done in secret. And what is the standard that we need to look at in our lives? It's a standard of sanctification and holiness. We embrace it. We don't reject this word. We accept it. We say, this is the word of God, and this is how we're going to live according to it. Holiness is sexual purity. And you can be free from any lust of the flesh that you walk in. Holiness is also a freedom from bitterness. It's also a freedom from bitterness. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. Another favorite verse of Scripture of mine. See, if I hear what he is praying, Lord, sanctify him the truth, and I have no concept of what the truth is or what sanctification is, then I'm not going to walk in agreement with it. So Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth, and then he goes along and he says, here, this is what sanctification means in the Word of God. Verse 14, pursue peace with all men. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you at peace with all men today? Are you at peace with your neighbor? Are you at peace with your spouse? Are you at peace with your children? Are you at peace with your brothers and sisters? Are you at peace with your church friends? Are you at peace today with all men? He says, listen, you pursue this peace, and then you also pursue sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. That's why this message is so very important, because the Scripture says that without this sanctification we're talking about today, that you don't see God. You don't see God. How can you see God? How can you understand God when you walk in the things that are unholy before God? Sanctification, my friends, is not an option in the Christian life. You call yourself a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you're pursuing peace and sanctification, because without it, you don't see God. You don't see him. So what we want to do is we want to say, okay, God, what does it mean to pursue sanctification? Notice what he says. Notice in verse 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, and that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. A root of bitterness or a bitter root in your life will always produce bitter fruit. If bad fruit's coming forth from your mouth in your life, whether it be anger or whether it be lust or whether it be grumblings or whether it be any of those kinds of things, I would ask you to really consider if there is a bitter root in your life. Because it produces in your life a damaging principle that leads to sinful practices. When you're in this condition, you generally grow worse and worse. You don't ever get better. When you're in this condition, you always get worse. If there's some kind of sin that you have held on to or you've harbored and it has grown in bitterness, folks, that is what the Scripture says will not only defile you, but will defile all the people around you. It'll defile everyone. I think about my own life. I think about the times of the bitter roots that kind of sprung up in my life. There's kind of an overlaying theme. It's kind of a map. You can just map it out in your life. The first thing that happens is you get your feelings hurt or someone offends you. In other words, someone doesn't do what you think you ought to do. Okay? You see that in lots of men when you say, my dad didn't do what he was supposed to do. Well, you know what? He might not have done what he was supposed to do. And you can be offended or you can get your feelings hurt about it. And if you do and you keep nurturing it and you keep harboring it, then it's going to follow you all of your life. But that's what happens. I mean, you get your feelings hurt. Someone offends you. Then you nurse the grudge. And the reason why you nurse it is because you're prideful. And I'm talking to me here. I'm prideful because I say nobody does that to Mike Fritcher. Nobody says that to Mike Fritcher's family. Nobody does that and gets away with it. I don't deserve that. Well, maybe you didn't deserve that, but if it happened, it happened. It doesn't give you the right to nurse that grudge in a prideful and selfish way, because then what will happen is you become angry, then you walk in unforgiveness, and then you become a bitter person. And then you'll talk about it, and then you'll get others to walk with you in your bitterness. How many times have we seen that? Where she's mad at him, and she gets her, and she talks about him, and that other one, where he didn't do anything to her, but all of a sudden, she's bitter too at that husband for doing that to my friend. How many times have we gathered around and we have nursed other people's grudges and we've taken their fences and we've taken it on and we become bitter when all along that person didn't do anything to us, and the person that's nursing that grudge on you has no right to walk in bitterness. Folks, hear me. You have no right to walk in bitterness and anger today. No right. Why is that? Because my God didn't walk in bitterness against you. That's why. You nurse this grudge. You talk about it, and instead of the peace of God, you have the turmoil of the enemy. My response to this must be where I pursue holiness by being at peace with all men. By being at peace with all men. And I want to ask you, do you have that kind of peace today? Do you have that kind of peace today with people? And I, you know, here's the thought. The thought is how can I love my neighbor and walk in bitterness? How can I be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect when I can't even love my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You've heard me say it before. It is whoever's closest to you and to whoever's farthest from you, and everyone in between is your neighbor. My spouse is my neighbor and my enemy is my neighbor. And the Scripture says to be perfect as the Father, to be sanctified as the Father, is that I need to be free from this bitterness. I pursue it. I pursue this sanctification. And I see to it that I don't come short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springing up defiles me. You know, another thought is holiness is also obedience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Don't need to turn there. Let me just tell you about it. The Scripture simply says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy in all your behavior. You'll notice that when you look at sanctification, holiness, you often see the relationship between Father and the Son, Father God and Christians and believers. Folks, it always has the connection with that. And so as an obedient son, he says, I am to imitate the Father. I am to walk in obedience. My response to him is to obey the Word of God. That is what holiness is. That is what sanctification is. A fourth thing is holiness is separation from the world. I want you to turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll close with this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Very important passage of Scripture. I believe that this is where we all fall short, where we all find the world creeping up into our lives because we don't follow this principle here. Notice what he says in verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. And that just means unequally yoked. Don't walk in covenant with unbelievers. You know, young people today, if you're not married, let me just tell you, you walk with an unbeliever and you yoke with an unbeliever, it's not going to be a healthy marriage. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You don't yoke yourself to unbelievers. You don't walk in covenant with them, is what he says. Why? Because righteousness and lawlessness has no partnership. Light and darkness has no fellowship. Verse 15. And Christ and Belial or Satan has no harmony. You think you're going to find harmony? You think you're going to find fellowship? You think you're going to find partnership with these kind of folks? No, you're not. What has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Well, in this day and age, a lot. And that's a shame. Because a believer is not to have anything in common with an unbeliever. Notice what he says. What agreement has the temple of God with the idols, for we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I'm going to come and dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, be different, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll welcome you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, here it is, verse 1, chapter 7. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. I want you to bow me in prayer. Would you do that for a second? What does it mean to be separate from the world? Does it mean that you build a compound and never go out? No, don't mean that. Come on. Think about it. To be separate means that I don't walk with the world. I don't walk with them. The reason why the world creeps into our lives, into our homes, is because we've welcomed the world into our home. We're all guilty of it in some way, some manner or fashion. I know it. I've seen it in my own life. World creeps in, sexual purity creeps in. World creeps in, bitterness creeps in. World creeps in, disobedience creeps in. It always happens. We've got to set ourselves apart, folks. We're different. But it's always in the context. Hear what I'm saying. It's always in the context of love. Compassion. If I don't have that, I don't have anything. See, Pharisees set themselves apart. The scripture says the Pharisees were hypocrites because they disregarded the weightier provisions of the law, which was compassion and love. See, you can do all the right things we've talked about just a moment, but be lost as a goose. You'd be a hypocrite because you don't walk with love. You don't walk with compassion, and that's where it starts. Because you see, if you walk with love and compassion, there's no one that you would lust after because you love that spouse as you love yourself. There's no way that you'd lust after that. You love your wife or you love your spouse more than that. You just do that if you walk in love. If you walk in love, you won't be bitter. You won't walk in bitterness. Yeah, you might get your feelings hurt, but you'll work through it. You'll walk through it. If you love your God and your neighbor, you'll walk in obedience. If you love God, you love your neighbor, you'll walk in fellowship with one another and thus separate yourself from walking like the world. Too often I look at my life and I say, you look too much like the world, preacher. Too much. Gotta be separate. Be different. Not obnoxious. It's not about what you dress, how you dress, and all that other stuff. How you wear your hair. It's a heart issue. It's the heart issue. I want to ask you, is there a sanctification taking place in your life today? You might hear say, you know, in a couple of those areas I'm struggling. And I want to say, in just a moment, we're going to sing this hymn. It's called Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And this grace is greater than the sin that we've just talked about. This grace is greater. You can walk from this place set free from these things in your life to pursue a holiness. Why did Jesus pray, sanctify them in the truth? Why did he say that? Because he knew that walking like Christ would bring the ultimate happiness and joy in life. Jesus is no killjoy, folks. It's these things of the world that's the killjoy. That's the stuff that kills your joy. Lasting joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you for this whole work of sanctification. Lord, I want to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, where there's sexual purity, that there'd be purity. Father, where there's bitterness and anger and division, there'd be unity and oneness, forgiveness. Father, I pray where there's disobedience, there'd be obedience. Today, Father, I pray where there is a joining to the world, there'll be separation of the world and a joining to the body. Lord, I pray in your name, that, Father, that we would let go of the things that hold us in check in bondage. Father, some of us here that walk in bitterness, I'm asking that you set us free. Lord, there's some of us walking in sexual promiscuity. I'm asking that you set us free today. Some of us walking in disobedience, I pray you'd set us free. God, I just know that you desire to do that. And I pray, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Come do your work in Jesus' name.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.